Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, May the 15th, Pope Leo encourages religious brothers to inspire joyful and fruitful paths to holiness. Following President Trump's decision to lift US sanctions on Syria, Christians in the country express cautious optimism for the future. And the Catholic Church in Myanmar appeals for aid and solidarity in the aftermath of the deadly earthquake in the country in March. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Pope Leo XIV met with the Brothers of the Christian Schools for an audience on Thursday morning. The Pope encouraged the religious brothers to inspire joyful and fruitful paths to holiness, saying that the classroom is their altar. Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Leo XIV commended the educational efforts of the De La Salle brothers. The Pope expressed his hopes that they continue to invite young men and women to embrace a religious vocation. He said this can take place in synergy with their formative efforts to inspire joyful paths of holiness. The Institute of the Brothers of the Christian Schools was founded by St. John Baptist de La Salle, who urged the religious brothers to form young people, especially the poor.
Dopo tre secoli, è bello constatare come la vostra presenza.
After three centuries, Pope Leo XIV noted in his remarks, it is wonderful to see how your presence continues to carry the freshness of a rich and far-reaching educational reality. He recalled two aspects of the brothers' history, their attention to the present moment and their ministerial and missionary dimension of teaching within the community. He said the challenges faced by St. De La Salle invite us too to ask how we should best face the challenges facing young people and what values should be promoted. The Pope lamented the isolation and emotional instability that afflict youth, saying schools run by the La Sallean brothers should offer them guidance. St. John Baptist de La Salle, he noted, did not want priests among the teachers of the Christian schools, but only religious brothers, so that their efforts would be directed, with God's help, toward the education of their students.
Il vostro altare è la cattedra.
Your altar, he loved to say, is the classroom. The Pope praised how religious men teach young people in a prophetic way through their consecration, inviting teachers and youth alike to embrace the teaching ministry given to every Christian at baptism. In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV invited the brothers of the Christian schools to continue to invite their students to contribute as living members to the growth of the Church and her continual sanctification. I'm Devin Watkins.
And in attendance at that meeting with the Pope on Thursday morning was Brother Carlos Gomez, the Vicar General of the Brothers of the Christian Schools. Following that meeting, he spoke to Vatican Radio, choosing three words to describe the Pope's message.
I would like to synthesize his messages in three words. Simple, deep, and prophetic. Simple, because he remembers us, our history, and how we should be committed with our main charisma, which is fraternal environment to educate. So fraternity for us is a crucial issue in all our educational projects. And he was very simple on his words, and he recalled how we should respond to the needs of today. Deep, because he pointed out the main possibilities of education to convey the message of Jesus Christ, because our is a Christian school, and sadly we are trying to do in many places. But of course, in some places we can do it openly, because catechism is possible in the curriculum, but in some places we have to convey Christ's message by example, by the values we try to establish in our schools, because we cannot talk openly. And prophetic, because he's invited us to address the current issues of the young people, but also for our societies. And in many ways, he is repeating to us what he is saying openly to the world. We need to build bridges and not more war. It is not possible, because war doesn't solve problems, create new ones. And I guess this is the synthesis of his message today.
That was Brother Carlos Gomez, Brother Vicar General of the Brothers of the Christian Schools, reflecting there on his meeting with Pope Leo this morning. On Tuesday, US President Donald Trump announced the lifting of economic sanctions against Syria, a measure repeatedly called for by local churches and NGOs, as well as by the Syrian people. As Christopher Wells reports, Syrian Christians welcomed news of the potential easing of sanctions while expressing what they called cautious optimism for the future.
On Tuesday, May 13th, during a visit to Saudi Arabia, U.S. President Donald Trump announced the lifting of sanctions against Syria to give the Middle Eastern country what he called a chance for greatness. Demonstrations of joy broke out across the country, notably in Damascus on Umayyad Square, where dense crowds gathered on Tuesday evening. Father George Sabay from the city of Aleppo in northern Syria said this announcement came so quickly, we weren't expecting it. We were surprised. U.S. sanctions initially put in place when Syria was living under the al-Assad regime have plagued the lives of the country's inhabitants, especially since the start of the war in 2011. This affects the daily lives of Syrians, so it's a great joy for us, the Marist priest continued. However, he said, caution is called for. It is a hope that is coming true, he continued, while noting that Syrians are keeping a wary eye on developments. They're cautious, he said, first of all because of the quid pro quo likely to be expected from America in exchange for the easing or even lifting of sanctions. Moreover, in addition to rebuilding the country with essential infrastructure such as roads and hospitals, Father Sabay insists we need to think about rebuilding the human person, relationships, forgiveness, and justice. The place of minority religious communities is another issue that needs to be clarified. Father Sabay says we will continue to call for the application of justice and respect so that each community can live in dignity according to its own values. A concrete timetable for the lifting of sanctions has not yet been announced, and a vote by the U.S. Congress may be required before the ban is definitively lifted. I'm Christopher Wells.
Hundreds of journalists gathered in Istanbul on Thursday afternoon, as Russia and Ukraine were scheduled to hold their first direct talks there after more than 3 years of war. As Linda Bordoni reports, Russia's President Vladimir Putin will not be taking part, despite having called for the talks himself.
The Kremlin confirmed on Thursday that Putin has no plans to travel to Istanbul, where unprecedented direct talks between Russian and Ukrainian delegations are set to take place. In a post on Telegram, Russia's top negotiator, Vladimir Medinsky, who is in Istanbul, said Moscow aims for a long-term and lasting peace by eliminating the roots of the conflict. But Western leaders have criticized Russia's decision to send a junior delegation to Istanbul, while Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he was not officially informed about who was attending from the Russian side and described the Russian delegation as phony. Meanwhile, in Ankara, the Ukrainian president met with his Turkish counterpart, President Erdogan, while an informal NATO foreign ministers meeting took place in the southern Turkish province of Antalya. Analysts say Putin's absence has shattered hopes of a breakthrough in peace efforts that were given a push in recent months by the Trump administration and Western European leaders. The war has killed tens of thousands of soldiers on both sides and more than 12,000 Ukrainian civilians. It continues along the roughly 1,000-kilometre front line, with Russian forces reportedly preparing a fresh military offensive. At least 5 civilians were killed and 29 injured in the past day, according to authorities in 5 eastern regions of Ukraine, where Russia's army is trying to advance. The US president, meanwhile, expressed his opinion that there will be no breakthrough until he himself meets Putin. And he indicated that a trip to Turkey could still be on the table if it were appropriate. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Pope Leo has already spoken multiple times about the situation in Ukraine. On Sunday, at his first ever Regina Caeli address, he said, quote, I carry in my heart the sufferings of the beloved Ukrainian people. Let everything possible be done to achieve an authentic, just and lasting peace as soon as possible. May all the prisoners be freed and may the children return to their families. On Monday, he spoke via telephone with Ukrainian President Zelensky, who wrote afterwards on social media that, quote, we deeply value the Pope's words about the need to achieve a just and lasting peace for our country and the release of prisoners. Ukraine, the president underscored, counts on the Vatican's assistance in bringing home the prisoners to their families. Now turning to Asia, the country of Myanmar is continuing to grapple with the devastating effects of a March 28th earthquake and continuing unrest throughout the nation. And the local church is appealing for aid and solidarity, as Deborah Castellano-Lobov reports.
In the aftermath of the devastating March 28th earthquake that struck Myanmar, the Catholic community in Mandalay is making an urgent appeal for support. Amid widespread destruction and ongoing civil unrest, church leaders are asking the global Catholic faithful and newly elected Pope Leo XIV, who they welcome with joy, for solidarity and assistance in rebuilding. We must now rebuild not only our physical structures, but also hope within our war-torn communities, said Father Peter Kimong, Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Mandalay, in a statement to Agencia Fides. We renew, he said, our urgent appeal to help us restore our ecclesial communities. The Diocese of Mandalay's emergency rescue team has been actively assessing damage to churches, pastoral buildings, catechism classrooms, and community centers. These sacred places where we gather for worship, prayer, and support, he said, urgently need restoration. This is a time of trial, he noted, and we ask for the support of the faithful everywhere. Despite these hardships, the Catholic community in Myanmar is celebrating the election of Pope Leo XIV with optimism and hope. Archbishop Marco Tin Nguyen of Mandalay extended a heartfelt message of congratulations to the new pope, asking him to support peace in Myanmar. Archbishop Tin Nguyen said many non-Catholics, including Buddhists, Muslims, and Protestants, followed the election with interest. It became a moment, he noted, of witness and evangelization for us. Meanwhile, Cardinal Charles Mongbo, Archbishop of Yangon, who participated in the recent conclave, shared his hopes with the faithful. The cardinal had sent photos of himself with Pope Leo and assured them that I asked him not to forget us and expressed hope that he would visit Myanmar soon. Whereas Dominican Father Paul Ang Myint echoed the sentiment, saying, "We are certain that Pope Leo will pay attention to the forgotten, the suffering, the poor, and the many refugees in Myanmar and elsewhere," noting, "He will be a voice for the voiceless." I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Ahead of the European Union Foreign Ministers meeting on May the 21st, the Bishop Conferences of Africa and the European Union have issued a joint statement raising concerns about what they call a profound shift in European priorities. In the statement, the European and African bishops highlight their worry that attention has shifted, quote, away from solidarity with the most fragile regions and communities and toward a more narrowly defined set of geopolitical and economic interests. Alvina Fernandez tells us more.
Kumasi and Sikkim point out how priorities seems to have shifted to the patterns of the past, placing European corporate and strategic aims over the real needs and aspirations of the African people. The African continent is made to put its ecosystems and communities at risk to support Europe's objectives, which the statement emphasizes is not a partnership nor justice. The statement offers many suggestions on how to better care for and respect the African continent and its ecosystem, but they emphasize that Africa does not need charity. Rather, it requires justice and a partnership grounded in mutual respect, environmental stewardship, and the centrality of human dignity. To do this, the Kumasi and Sikkim call for the AU and EU ministers to rise to this moment and listen more attentively to the African civil society, indigenous peoples, and freed communities, not as token participants, but as equal co-creators of policy. I am Alvina Fernandez.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on all these stories, you can go to vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Mario Scaton and Alvina Fernandez in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.